Let's pray. Oh, gracious Father, loving God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your love that you sent Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the power of your love. You saw us in our low estate, O God. And our rebellion against you, and you just pursued us. You just kept coming after us, Lord, because you loved us. Think of all the prophets that you sent to your people. All the time and all of your word that you continue to pour out, relentlessly pursuing us, O God. And then sending your Son. Think of how from before even the creation of the world, O Lord, as our this morning's passage will say, that you called us and chose us to be your children, O God, because of your love for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for how you have been at work throughout all ages, working your love out in your people, in us, for us, through Jesus. And that you are still doing that right here today, even this morning in this room, Lord. So I just ask, Lord, that you would keep it up, Lord. Keep at it right now. Working out your love, making yourself known to us this morning, whether we've been walking in you and with you as believers for many years, or whether we're here this morning and we don't even know you, Lord, that you would keep working and making yourself known this morning. Please, Father. As we open your word this morning, Lord, open our eyes and our ears that we would see and hear Jesus this morning, God. And that's not something we can do by ourselves. That must be you, Lord, at work. So, thank you for all that you've done to prepare us to be here in this time and for what you will do now, Lord. We sit with great expectation and excitement at what you have planned for us now in your word, Lord. We humbly say, come, Lord Jesus. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Our Advent series is the coming of Jesus. That's really what we look at, we think about in Advent time. Advent is waiting, means a time of waiting. And it's this, as we in the church age, we live in a time between times, right? Because Jesus has come and yet he's coming again. So we don't sit in the time before his coming where we're waiting for his first coming, and it was significantly a time in which they were not understanding what his coming would look like. It appeared significantly, though now as we look back, it is clear now as we look at the Old Testament now, but up until Jesus' first coming, it was veiled. The Lord kept it veiled in a way to see how his coming would be. It looked quite often, as you read the Old Testament before the coming of Jesus, that his coming would be really, really in one stage. And so they were waiting for the coming Messiah, who would be the conquering king. Those passages were much clearer of the Messiah being the conquering king. And the passages that spoke of the suffering servant were harder to read and harder to understand as also referring to the Messiah. We see that so much more clearly now, living on this side of the cross. And we now live in a time of waiting, though, for the fulfillment of all those promises of the conquering King, the Messiah, the return of Jesus, as He has explained it so much more to us through the New Testament. But we are still waiting also, Advent, for His coming, for His coming. And so we pause in this season of the church calendar to reflect, to remember, to let our hearts build with anticipation. And we kind of get, you know, maybe we laugh at a little bit or chuckle with delight, hopefully, and sometimes maybe get a little frustrated with younger children as they get all antsy with anticipation at the coming of Christmas. You know, they get a little crazy as Christmas comes and Christmas night. You know, they get a little crazy. This year's going to be a little bit harder maybe with church, with us. Christmas being on Sunday morning. You know, it's a little bit harder how that's all going to work out for kids. Do we do presents before church or do we hold off till after church? How's that all going to work out for the kids? A lot of extra waiting maybe going to happen on this. Probably going to be a little crazier this Christmas, you know, and maybe a little extra frustration from parents and all those things there. But you know, they're just experiencing the reality of waiting. It's how his waiting is manifesting for them. And this is a season of waiting. And it has everything to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus came for many reasons. And that's what we've been looking at this Advent, through this Advent series. There are many aspects. Jesus is he's huge. Right? Jesus is huge. I can't do the voice, right? I can't do Donald. I was supposed to be Donald Trump's voice. I can't do his voice. Anyway. So you didn't even know what I was supposed to, right? Yeah. Right? Jesus is so big. That wasn't an endorsement. Don't worry, I'm not endorsing or anything. Okay. Yeah. So big that we didn't just come for one thing. There's so much, and we can't even cover it, of course, in just, you know, four simple sermons, every aspect of His coming. But we want to look at some of the parts of His coming, because it's so rich, and we tend to look at just one area of His coming. So we looked last week at Jesus came to execute justice. He came to bring justice. And we looked at how that, for our Christian tradition of evangelical, tends to be an area that recently, maybe the past 50 years or so, we have neglected, I think, significantly in many ways. Right? This morning, we want to look at one that I think we often associate with the coming of Jesus, and that is Jesus comes to forgive our sins. Jesus comes to save. Jesus comes to save. But it is so important for us to talk and to remember and to proclaim and to believe and to grasp and to share and to tell one another that Jesus comes to forgive sins. Jesus comes to save. Because, as I don't know where the quote comes from, but the reality is that the gospel is always one generation away from disappearing. It's an amazing reality. Right, that the gospel is always just one generation away from disappearing. If we do not tell it to one another, if we assume we know the gospel, if we assume we know how we are saved, how we become born again, how we are Christians, how it is that we can go to heaven, if we assume we all know that, it will not be very long before we forget it. And it disappears. It just disappears. So we look at the reality of why Jesus came. He came to save and forgive sins. Will you turn with me, please, to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We're just going to look at one sentence this morning. Just one sentence. Now, it's one sentence in Greek. Okay? So, it's verses 3 through 14 of Paul. All right? But it's just one sentence. All right? Okay. Ephesians chapter 1. General Electric Power Company. After Galatians, right before Philippians. This is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. Right after his greeting, he bursts forth, and it's one sentence he's going to write here from verses 3 to 14. And it's this bursting forth in praise, and it's almost like he's praying. Now, it's not a prayer per se, but it's this praise request. And in your English, it's all chopped up into many sentences to help us try to read it, but Paul is so caught up in how great is our God. He's so captivated with the glory of God, which is why I think it's all one sentence. It's just so big. God is so big in his heart, which is why this sentence of praise just bursts out of him in joy. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. This is God's word. This Christmas, this Advent season, let us reflect and remember. Why did Jesus come? Jesus came to save us from our sins. Jesus loves you. And even though all people, all of us have sinned and fall short of God's glory, God says, but I love you. I love you. And I'm coming after you. Because I want you to be with me. You're my child. And so he sent Jesus to die on the cross so that we wouldn't have to pay for our sins, but that he would take that payment and put it on his own son so that we could be adopted as his daughters and his sons into his family because he loves us. This Christmas, Jesus comes to save us from our sins. Paul starts off this passage in verse 3 by saying, "Praise God!" That's it. Praise God! Praise God! That's just what he wants to say. First, he starts off the letter in verses 1 and 2 and says, "Hello, I'm Paul, I'm an apostle, greetings to you in Ephesus." Next he starts and just says, "Praise God! That's what I want to tell you. Praise God. Praise God the Father. He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And who is this God? He's the one who has blessed us. Not just a little bit. He has over the top, outrageously, abundantly, like a father spoiling his child on Christmas morning, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, every spiritual blessing in Christ. He has blessed us. Everything. He held nothing back from us. That's who God is. God isn't stingy. God isn't... Any children in here? God isn't Santa. God is not Santa. Santa is the opposite of Christ. I'm still the Antichrist. He's the opposite of Christ. Close call, right? Now, you know, I know we've done great work trying to redeem Santa in many ways. You know, St. Nicholas and gone back and told great, trying to give Santa a good origin story, right? Which is good. It's cool. That's great. I love that. Right, but you know, Santa sits up there with a list, and he weighs your works, your deeds, and checks it twice. He says, "I'm going to evaluate you on your works." Santa is a works-based deity. Have you been good? Then you will be blessed. Have you been bad? Then you will get coal. Which, if you're cold, maybe it's not so bad, you know? It's works-based. He evaluates your works. That's not what Jesus does. Jesus doesn't keep a list. He says, "I've seen the list. I know it's bad. I saw the list. And I said, wow, this is bad. I got to fix this." And so he went to the cross for us. Right? That's who Jesus is. That's what Jesus does. And he loves us and blesses us. And so Paul is so caught up in this gracious blessing and love of God that he just says, "I can't even write anything else yet. I got so much." This letter is so thick. Paul's got so much to write. But he says, before I even get there, I just can't help it. I just got to say, praise God. But because it's Paul and he's an engineer, I think mechanical, just speculation, just like he's a mechanical engineer, you know. Exactly. That's right. He doesn't just leave it at praise God. He has to go on to have a 3-point illustration of why. And he has to use the proper language to describe why. And so he's going to give 3 reasons why he's praising God. God bless Paul. All right. So, 3 reasons why he's praising God. And just to make it even cooler, he's going to give 1 reason for each member of the Trinity. How awesome is that? He's going to give one reason for God the Father, one reason for God the Son, one reason for God the Holy Spirit. And each of them have to do with the various roles that each member of the Trinity plays in our salvation. So it's going to be theological and not just random thoughts he happens to have. He's going to describe theologically each role that the member of the Trinity has in our salvation. So we are going to come to understand the nature of our salvation on what God the Father does in our salvation, God the Son does in our salvation, and God the Holy Spirit does in our salvation. And just to make sure we understand how this begins and ends, he's going to end the passage in the same way and say, praise God again. Start with praise God, end with praise God, in the middle of 3 points, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, wrap it up in a nice pretty bow and give it to us this morning. Isn't that great? Those of you with Hebrew mindsets are going, that sounds kind of boring, Paul, but all right, maybe we'll do it. Okay. All right. First point, praise God because the Father chose to save us. Praise God because the Father chose to save us. Verses 4 through 6. That may not sound like very much of a big deal. First, theologically. Because the reality is, as we read in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, no one seeks God, not one. Because of our sin, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, we all are in rebellion against God. All. Everyone. The Bible. Not me. I'm not saying. The Bible says that. We all reject God. God says, come to me. We all say, no. We don't want you. We want our own way. Adam and Eve said it. Their children said it. It's been happening ever since, right? We all choose against God. And so none of us turn towards God. And so none of us naturally will go to Him. So unless God chooses us, we are all going to continue on in our rebellion against God. Meaning none of us will be saved. Unless God comes to us, no one will be saved. Because no one chooses God. We all choose against God. We're free to choose God. God's not keeping us from choosing Him. If you want to talk about freedom, what is freedom of the will in those theological terms? If you want to have those discussions, we can. If you want to come separately, we'll talk about them. What is freedom of, what does it mean to be free? We are free to choose God, I would say theologically, along with Jonathan Edwards, I would agree with him. Just like, to use an analogy, like a bird with a broken wing is free to fly, it just can't. Because its wing is broken. No one's forcing it not to. But because it is crippled, it cannot. It's like us, we are free to choose God. Because of our sin, we are crippled and will not choose God. Choose to come to Him. So God, first logic, that God chooses us, without it, we would never be saved. So verses 4 through 6, for He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. So that's one wonderful good thing theologically. He chose us. That's wonderful. Without it, none of us can be saved. But it's more than that too. Relationally, you know, we on occasion have remembered and highlighted Orphan Sunday and or Foster Care Sunday in two different Sundays, one in the fall, one in the spring, here, to try to call attention to just the need, both within our country and around the world, for the care of the orphan, which the Lord says is true religion. True religion is this, to care for the orphan and the widow. Right? And what is that like? What is that like for an orphan? To have no mother and father, to have no one there caring for you, providing for you, to have no one when you fall come pick you up, or if someone does, it's a worker who's being paid. What's that like? What's that like to think that, who is it that loves me? You know, the movie Orphan Annie, or Annie, right? That movie, right? And those pictures there, the whole image throughout the whole movie there of just Annie who's become sort of this tough character, and yet deep inside, when she can be by herself a little bit through some of the songs, revealing that she's on this never-ending quest to find her real mom and dad, and she's making up excuses for why they had to leave her because she can't come to grips with the thought that her mom and dad wouldn't love her. She needs someone to love her. And then the original, Daddy Warbucks comes and loves her. And it's this great kind of how that all develops and everything, right? Someone to love them. A father to love us. Well, that's the picture here in the scriptures. It's not God just saying, yeah, I'm busy. Okay, I choose you, and you now go to my field and start working. And we're like, oh, great, I get to work. God chose me. That's great. I don't have to starve. I'm glad He chose me. No. Read on. Last two words of verse 4 into verse 5. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. So first of all, He predestined. And again, we don't have time to go into that, right? It's probably not still on the website now, but when we went through Ephesians many years ago, let me know if you want that, to go into more detail on that. We can bring that back up and review that again. We did a deep dive on that a number of years ago. But it means that before He even made the world, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, He looked and knew and said, My child, I love you. I love you, my child. And it was with His pleasure. He says, oh, that they're an orphan, they're lost. And I love them. And it's going to cost me my son to die on the cross, to claim them as my child, my daughter, as my son, to adopt them. Yes. Because I love them. So that's what it means that Paul says, praise God because the Father chose us. And that's who we are as God's children. It's not just like, boy, God has a lot of kids. Oh my word, what happened there? I can't even keep track of our names probably. He's got so many kids. He's just starting numbering us, you know? No. He loves us. And and He chose us. Second reason Paul says, praise God, is because Jesus died to save us. Jesus died on the cross to save us. Verses 7 through 12. Now, Paul goes into two different parts here. There's two different reasons here. And, you know, just to call it a little bit how Paul's speaking here, he begins each of these three sections with an in him. As he goes through these three sections of the becauses, there's three because, again, starts with the praise God, ends with the praise God. In the middle, he's going to have, you'll see in the outline as it builds, he's going to have a because, something God the Father does, because something God the Son does, because something the Holy Spirit does. And he begins each of those becauses with an in Him. So in verse 4, for He chose us in Him, he's going to begin verse 7 with in Him, then it will be in verse 13, it will be, and you also were included in Christ. But he also ends each of them with a to the praise of His glorious grace. So there's a praise to the praise of His grace, which we have in verse 6, is how it ended there. We have in verse 12, praise of His glory, and then the end of verse 14, to the praise of His glory. Paul rocks, right? I mean, come on. This just helps us see the structure. Helps us see how Paul is putting these beautiful pieces together here. So we have this next section here in verse 7 through 12. Because Jesus died to save us. But this one is in two parts. First, verses 7 through 10. In Him, we have redemption through His blood. What does that mean? The forgiveness of sins. So He redeemed us through His blood. In Jesus, we've been redeemed. What does it mean to be redeemed? Redeemed is what you can do to a slave. If someone's a slave, the master can come and redeem them. You can purchase their life, and then you own them. You can buy their life. They're a slave, and you can redeem them. And then the master can set them free or do what they want with them, but you are the masters now. And that sounds horrible to us, of course, in a human context. Because a human owning a human is horrific. But when we are mastered by sin, and God comes and redeems us, and our loving Heavenly Father now owns us, that sets us free. And He does it in Christ, and what that means in this parenthesis in verse 7, the forgiveness of sins. Who is our master initially? It is sin. When God comes and redeems us in Christ, it is the forgiveness of sins. And how does He do that? Can God just say, don't worry about sin? No. It's through the blood of Jesus, as we will hold and remember in a moment through communion. It cost Jesus His life forgive us our sins. He who knew no sin took on our sins and went to the cross. It's like what Nita was saying this morning, right? The baby in the manger came to die for us. Jesus came to forgive our sins, not by saying, no big deal. It is a big deal. Because He came to die because of our sins, but He did this because of His love. The second part of this, Jesus coming to die for our sins, He goes on in verse 11, giving the part two I mentioned. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in accordance to the conformity of the purpose of His will, in order that we would be the first to hope in Christ to the praise of His glory. So He's hitting these two things. Jesus came to redeem us by dying on the cross, but also in Him we've again been chosen. In Jesus we've been chosen calling again on the idea of our being predestined, which he alluded to and we talked about briefly. So the first part, God the Father choosing us. He reiterates that again. I don't want to cover that again right now. Praise God, one, because the Father chose to save us. Praise God, two, because Jesus came and he came to die on the cross to forgive our sins, to pay our sins, to wipe away our sins. So what we've done, what he's gone through so far, is he has said God planned to save us. Jesus worked the possibility of saving us. God the Father made the plan. Jesus carried out the plan. But there's still a piece missing. The plan has to be applied. The plan's been executed, but it hasn't been applied to us yet. And if it doesn't get applied to God's people, then no one's saved. And so that's part three. Praise God, because the Holy Spirit has sealed us to save us. Verses 13 and 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Now, so much here. So much here. Okay. First of all, you were included in Christ. So that's the execution, the carrying out of God's plan, which Jesus worked, but the application of it. How is it applied to you and I? So you were included in Christ. How do we get included in Christ? Now that Jesus died on the cross, how do we get included in? How do we get adopted in? What's the problem? Okay, God, I want in. This is awesome. I want in. I by your grace, maybe now I'm dead in my transgressions. I'm seeing how amazing your love is. I'm seeing how amazing it would be to be part of your family. And I want to be part of your family. How? Do I have to be really, really good? Do I have to what, stop speeding on the highway? What do I have to do, God? What? You were included when you heard the word of truth. Okay, so that's part of it. I have to hear the word of truth, the gospel, the truth of who Jesus is, and this message of God. Okay, I'm hearing it. Now what? The word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and then having what? Believed. Believed. So this is amazing. God chose us. God predestined us. God adopted us. Who does all that work? God. God is the one who saves us. God does the saving. And we believe. So we're involved in this. We believe. Faith. So why it goes on in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. We are saved by God's grace, not through works, but by faith. Through God's grace, by God's grace through faith, not by works. So he says in the next chapter of this book, that's how we're saved. Because of Jesus Christ's death on the cross, we're saved by God's grace through faith. God chose us and we believe. We believe. We just believe. We just believe, which means we trust. We hope in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We hope in Jesus Christ as our Savior, as the one who died to pay, to wipe out, to wash away all of our sins. And when that happens, he says, the Holy Spirit marks us with a seal. Now, the seal also, this sounds slightly offensive to us, it's a sign of possession. When you mark something with a seal, you're saying it belongs to you. It was Christmas or birthdays ago, I got this great little gizmo, got it in my study, that has my name on it, and it says something to the effect of a little design on it, and says, from the library of Scott Foster. And it's got this nice imprint. You put a piece of paper in there, and you press it down, and it puts an imprint. It's for books, right? And so I can put that on the front page of a book. When I get a new book, I get to go poof, and it's fun to push it down. It kind of squishes down, and it makes a nice little embossed thing, right, on it. Barbara's a notary public, right? She got the cool stamp for a notary public. It puts the same kind of embossed thing on it, right? A little raised seal on it, right? Those are cool. I just like, bam, I love that, right? But it puts a seal on it. It says, this book is mine, right? Because I got books, throwing them everywhere, and I'm like, I don't know which one. I don't know what's what and where they are. I lose them all the time. I don't know where they all are. Is this one mine, or did I borrow this from somebody else? Or, I never have any idea where they all are. So this helps me remember, oh, this one's mine, and seven copies of one book, and given which one am I looking at, and everything. So this helps me in my aging brain to remember that's the one I'm looking at, and whatever. But it's a seal. It says that's mine. And when we believe in Jesus Christ, so many things happen, the scriptures say, but one is that the Holy Spirit comes in us. This is an internal thing. And He marks us. He seals us. Because God is saying, she's mine. He's mine. I own them. Again, if it were a dictator or a human, that would be repugnant. But it's our Heavenly Father claiming us, so that we and the heavenly realms, including the spiritual powers of evil, understand, mine. Hands off. It's my child. That's one thing that happens. We are sealed. We are sealed. It is with the promised Holy Spirit. God promised in the Old Testament to send the Holy Spirit, and He has fulfilled that promise. We start the day of Pentecost, continues all the way through now. When we believe, God sends the Holy Spirit. He promised it. He keeps His promises. Trying to go through this a little bit quickly. I apologize. Who is He? He is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. The Holy Spirit who dwells in us. It is a foretaste. It's a down payment on heaven. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you. And it is a down payment, like you're putting a down payment on a house. With that, you take possession of the house. But it's just a little bit. You get the monthly invoice that comes in. You got to kind of keep going. You're going to go for many years to come. You take possession of it too. at that time with that first down payment. With the Holy Spirit, we really are in Christ. Really. But this is just the beginning. This is just the foretaste. God is just giving us the foretaste now. Just a little sample right now. Maybe you're going to make some Christmas cookies this season. And by the way, if you are, I should have mentioned it in your announcements. Valerie has asked, instead of like, you know, if you, some of you brought meals and that's been great, but she's asked if you're going to make any cookies this season, if you could make maybe a couple extra and bring them over. Valerie Hall, she'd like that. She'd like a couple extra Christmas cookies. That'd be cool, huh? Bring a couple extra Christmas cookies over if you're making any this season. But maybe you can make some Christmas cookies this season. And maybe you're going to sample a couple beforehand, right? Or maybe if you're going to for Thanksgiving now, I often get to carve the turkey. That's pretty big. That's a pretty big. I feel like as a man, I have arrived. Right? I'm serious, right? To get to carve the turkey, that's like manhood, right? I know in Jewish culture, you get a bar mitzvah at 13. Now I get to carve bar mitzvah. Sorry, thank you. I get to carve the turkey, right? And I'm actually encouraged now, as I'm carving, to take a little foretaste. I'm allowed. I'm supposed to take a little foretaste of that, right? So we have with the Holy Spirit now, who dwells in us, that God has sealed us and says, "You are mine." Because He chose us, because He loves us. Well, how do I know He loves me? He sent His only Son to die on a cross because He loves you. Never doubt how much the Father loves you. Jesus came because He loves you. Went to the cross because He loves you. Gave His life because He loves you. Sent the Holy Spirit guaranteeing you that He's coming again, and that your place in heaven is secure, because if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you come to Him in faith, you are His child. You are His child. Now and forevermore. Why did Jesus come? Why do we celebrate Christmas? Jesus came to forgive our sins. Jesus came to save us. What do? Believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank You for sending Jesus, even when we had rebelled and rejected You. Thank You for choosing us in your love, O God, from before the creation of the world. Thank You for sending the Holy Spirit, O Lord God, as a seal, as a deposit, as a guarantee of our inheritance, eternity in You in heaven, O God. I pray, Lord God, that we would see Jesus, trust and believe in Him, hope in You, O Lord God. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.